We want to build a community and share other women's stories.
Everyone, and welcome to the Tea with TE podcast. It's the She Who Leads series. Today we have Emma Salomon, who is the global HR business partner at Capgemini. Emma is a valued person within Triton Exec and somebody that we've got to know very well over the years, and I'm so grateful for you being here. So thank you, Emma, for joining us.
No, thank you, Terry. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
It's great to have you on, and we always start with a bit of an introduction. So we'd love to just hear a bit about you, just in terms of career background and how you've got to where you are today.
Sure, no worries. So I'm a global HR business partner with Capgemini, who are a global IT services and consultancy company. My role today is actually working with our group CFO, supporting and working with her on a number of topics across three functions: finance, procurement, and corporate real estate. But I started with the group in a consulting role, HR transformation and change. And during my time with the group, I've been in a variety of roles, both consulting and internal HR and in global roles as well. So more on that, I'm sure. But I started my career actually in recruitment, so maybe that's where the connection comes as well. So I know very well and have a great love of the recruitment business and the industry. In fact, I was in recruitment for about 10 of the years I've been working. So yeah, so recruitment, HR, consulting, global, that's me.
Thank you. And you've certainly been on a journey, I think, in terms of the different avenues that you've worked in. But obviously all of that does come back to HR naturally, I feel, particularly recruitment, but also consulting. I think you're kind of very front facing and working with the business. And it probably gives you a bit of a commercial acumen as well that I think not everyone has access to. So that's probably shaped your career to date. There's probably been some big achievements throughout your career, and I'd love to hear if there are any in particular that you think have helped to shape, get to where you are today.
Yeah, so I think the consulting skills is something that I didn't realize that it was a thing, if I can be honest, until I was probably about 10 or 11 years into my career and considering the next step. And I do agree, those formative years in recruitment, coupled with some solid management consulting experience in my early days at Capgemini, I do believe have given me a different perspective as a business partner for the various parts of the organisation that I've worked alongside in my time with Capgemini. But stepping back, I've been in working now for almost 30 years, and I think, you know, there are many highlights over that time. But if I was to say my proudest achievements, I would go back to my early career in recruitment. Okay. I started a business in Australia. I was very fortunate to be given the opportunity to go to Australia under an established brand to help start a new business as part of that brand in the group portfolio. To take something from scratch, to build a brand market share, profitability within the first 12 months of us being there, and then to go on and do it again in another city. So that was Sydney and then Melbourne. With a team of handpicked consultants from the UK who were all on the same adventure. Mm-hmm. It was a great, great opportunity to do something different, mm-hmm. But with the sponsorship and security, if you want to call it that, of working mm-hmm. with your employer. So for me, that was a great achievement. Alongside that, getting peer recognition internally as a result of our achievements there, gaining a global internal recognition mm-hmm. award was a real highlight of my time in recruitment. More recently, as HR director for several group functions, I'm really proud of the work we've done to build a capability development for the finance function all too often support functions can be considered as just that. But we really believe they're enabling functions, and we really believe our talents should have the same opportunities for progression, growth, and development as any client-serving employee. And we've created a great basis of learning and development for the whole finance community globally in Capgemini. And I think, as a consequence, it's a real role model for finance as a function.
Yeah, amazing. And I didn't realize about the Australia thing, Gemma. How long were you there for?
So I was there for just about 3 years, just under 3 years,
Wow.
and worked in Adelaide, Sydney, and Melbourne. Setting up
Great experience.
new brands under the what was the Hays Personnel Services
Okay.
umbrella at the time.
How
It
cool.
was a really, really great experience, really great experience personally and professionally. And on a professional level, I learned so much about leading, managing teams, commercial, operational leadership as
Yeah.
well. Yeah, it
The
was.
business side, you must have learned.
Yeah,
So I
it
think.
was a huge steep learning curve, and I yeah, and I think at the time, if I'm really honest, I probably lacked a bit of the confidence and self-belief, which others had put in me,
Yeah.
but yeah, it was great times, and we did really amazingly well.
It's really great. Do you think the lack of confidence and self-belief comes from like just personally, or do you think there's a part of like a gender stereotyping, kind of how you feel about being like female and going out and setting up a business? Was there any element to that at the time?
So I think a lot of it was to do with me as an individual. I was 25 and relatively new in my career, and we had great leadership that really supported and sponsored us going over there, and great leadership in setting it up. So, I was setting up a second office, and I think at the time the office, most of the people in the office in Melbourne that I was managing were male.
Okay.
That's fair to say. And
Yeah.
it was the 90s, and it was
Yeah.
quite a different working culture and culture overall. So I think there was a sense that, I was the woman amongst men for sure. And a bit of, but that's, I must say, that's not, that's, it's not, that wasn't really the
No.
underlying thing. The underlying thing was more a level of my own self-confidence,
Yeah, but
and my own belief in myself.
exactly. But at 25, I mean, it's no age really, is it? Particularly to be going somewhere and building something that's quite daunting. So amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
So thinking more broadly, and I know this is a topic that is of particular interest to you, and I think we will cover a bit of this in a moment, just in terms of how you do make it work for you, but actually balancing your career, becoming a mother, juggling everything else in life is obviously something that, as you do progress through your career, is harder to manage, I think. How have you found that? And also, and then we can talk maybe a bit about any ideas around how others can learn from how you've found it.
I've been extremely fortunate in my career to date. I've benefited from great opportunities, sponsorship, and role models, both male and female, throughout my journey. And obstacles and challenges are inevitable in my experience. And balancing career, motherhood, life, I think it's such a personal question and so dependent on the context. From
Of
my
course.
point of view, my husband and I have always maintained an equal share of responsibilities at home and at work. We don't live close to our family. We chose not to have a nanny, and we made choices and compromises both at work and at home to enable a balance. So this means that when our son was born, we relocated closer to the office location for both of our
Okay.
employers to make commuting time easier. My husband changed his working hours so he could be available to manage the end of the day. And I changed my working hours to 4 days a week to enable me to spend my time with my son. So, flexible work cultures, opportunities to make these decisions, and a supportive and inclusive working environment have been hugely valuable for us. And as I say, I think we've been really fortunate. But it's a constant balancing act. And I think that as a working parent or carer, whether you're a mother or a father, whether you're caring for one person or five, in this day and whether you're working 4 days, 5 days, in this day and age, where technology is omnipresent and you can be connected 24/7, it's a challenge for everyone. So, I don't believe that I'm any different to anyone else. I made a decision to move to 4 days a week when my son was very young, and I've maintained that through flexibility and adaptivity and compromise. I financially I've compromised in order to maintain that 4 day a week. But what that means in practice is that I've always ensured I've been available and flexible to meet the needs of the business and my family, and I manage expectations accordingly. It's for me at least. I've benefited from having strong support at home and through the working environment that I'm in. And I do consider that to be very fortunate. Others don't have that
No, of
necessarily,
course.
but you make priority calls and you make compromises and you make choices. And that's very individual, isn't it?
And do you find over the 4 days that you are working, you are probably working slightly more? How have you found it? And I'm sure it's probably got peaks and troughs, in terms of the cycles that go on within the working environment. But have you found that you've had to kind of compromise with leaders at work? How have they found you having a 4 day work week, for example?
Well, that's probably a question to ask them rather than me. But one thing I'm quite proud of is that until quite recently, I don't think many people knew I worked 4 days a week. And it's just not a thing. I've never made it a thing. And from a business perspective and a leadership perspective, again, fortunately, it's not considered even to be questioned, really. So to answer your question, I don't think people really consider it. And maybe to address one of your other points, maybe that's partly because of the way in which I've worked. So yes, I do 5 days and four. I work compressed hours. So the 4 days that I'm at work are long days. The one day that I'm not working formally, I will still be accessible. I have my phone, and if somebody needs to speak to me, or if there's a priority in the business or in my team, then they can reach me. And if I need to make time to do some work, then I will make time, but that's of my choosing. It's and it's and I've you know that's purely my prerogative, and doesn't intrude, and I make sure it doesn't intrude on what I want to do outside of work time. Again, it's about that. To me, it's about that flexibility, that adaptivity and compromise. As a consequence, I think the fact that it's never really been visible, I've not made it hugely visible, I think has meant that my my career has continued to progress with no limitations other than those that I put on myself.
Yeah, and I'm sure a bit of discipline needs to come into that as well, I imagine, from your side in terms of those 4 days that you are working. I'm sure it's like, okay, how can I make the most of this time and get the best out.
I mean, I mean, we're all busy, aren't we? And we all have, I think, multiple priorities and agendas. So for sure, it means that those days are very full. And you know, as time has gone on, as my son has grown up or grows up, what I choose to do on that Monday changes, you know. So I've taken on voluntary roles and responsibilities, which allow me to contribute in a different way to society and to the working world. Allow me to build new networks and gain new skills, and I can do that largely in my non-working day. So, you know, I'm an advisor to small businesses. I have an enter what we call an enterprise advisor role, which is a kind of schools outreach role between my employer and a local school, bringing business insights into the curriculum and supporting the careers lead with work experience and topics, apprenticeship topics, etc. You know, these things I enjoy doing, and I get something different out of it professionally and personally. So, you know, again, I've made it work. I'm not trying to say it's been easy, and I pack a lot in, but that's my style. I tend to pack a lot into work and life, much to the horror of my husband, who would like it to be quieter. But yeah, so 4 days, 5 days, you know, it's kind of, I neither here nor there. Yes, there's a discipline to it, but there's, I think the key for me is, as I said, flexibility, adaptability, and compromise.
It's nice to hear you making it work for you, because I think sometimes we feel a bit bound to feeling as though we can't ask those questions, and it's 5 days a week, and we have to do that because everybody does that. Whereas actually it's like, no, what's going to work for us personally, and how do we bring that into what we want? But I think a lot of the time we don't take time to reflect on what we actually do want and how we can make it work. So I think it's really commendable, Emma, and I really like the fact that you are doing some other things that you wanted to do. And I think it's great that you've got this kind of additional, it's now giving you a bit of a hobby, so to speak, I guess, a business hobby, but still it's giving you different perspectives.
You know,
Thank
it's sorry to cut across you,
you.
but
No,
you know, it's about, you know, we could all work 24/7 these
yes,
days,
especially now.
you know, it's relentless and
Mm-hmm.
unstoppable, and for many years, I've fallen into the trap of believing that the more I do, the better I'll be. The more I do, the better I'll be. I need to keep going. I need to keep going. Need to keep going. At some point, and maybe it's a COVID legacy for me. I don't know. But
Maybe.
you know, this whole notion that actually, with COVID and the pandemic, things just stopped, and we had to adapt, and we had to change, and we did, and for the most part, it's okay. It's been okay. You know,
So true.
there's clearly the big things out there that have happened as a consequence, economically, and so on. But we adapted, and it was okay. And I kind of sort of take that a bit with me now. You know, you can adapt and it will be okay. And I encourage anyone to ask the question. You know, you've got to start with what's important for you. And we have one son, and there I had one opportunity to be a mother. So for me, that was really, really important to be visible. And so that was the compromise. You know, I want to have a career, but I want to be visible for my son. So I was fortunate. I asked the question. I could move to 4 days. I was fortunate that I could move from consulting into internal HR and therefore get a bit of stability at a time when I needed it most. So yeah, I think you have to ask the question of yourself first about what's important, and then ask that to the people around you. Sponsorship is hugely important.
Agree.
Having people who believe in you and can advocate for you and can support you is hugely important in your career. And I've been very, very fortunate from the very beginning that I've had those people that I can, I can count on.
And I talk about that a lot with everybody at your level in leadership roles, I think, because it helps. It certainly helps to know that you're not fighting for things on your own. You just touched a little bit on it there with consulting background. And obviously, when you were going on your journey into motherhood, you were a consultant. And I'm sure there were people that would love to hear your perspective on this, because obviously, consulting is not known for being the most flexible, and it probably is one of the hardest roles to have, I think, as you are going into motherhood from a flexibility perspective. So how was your journey into motherhood, and what did you take from that from a learning perspective and your career?
I think consulting's come a long way, and I know in our organisation that we have an awful lot of support and options and choices for our own colleagues, whether they're male or female, and what responsibilities they have beyond work and what choices they want to make. So everything evolves, but when I started in consulting, I went on maternity leave, I think a couple of years after I joined Capgemini, and I took 9 months, which was a bit extended from the norm. But anyway, when I came back, it was like a baptism of fire. So I remember coming back in to the office on my first day, being put straight into an RFP, and working all hours to submit the RFP. We won that piece of work. We were then into client delivery, and it was just this kind of, culture shock from being at home, and all everything that goes with a newborn, and to then literally 20, full speed ahead. I don't think I don't think my feet or my head really touched the ground. But one thing I when I did sort of come up for air, I was thinking to myself, I'm back. I remember actually, I remember the practice head at the time saying to me quite genuinely, "Nobody would know you've been away. You've done great. You're back. You're in. You're on firing on all cylinders. Nobody would know that you've ever been away." And it was meant as a compliment, and I took it as a compliment. But when I stood back and I thought about it, I thought, well, I didn't have a choice. There was no reorientation. There was no sort of even discussion with me about returning to work, and what did I want to do, and what's going to be easy in the first few weeks, and none of that. And it wasn't deliberate. I just don't think people thought about it. So I thought about what what could be better? What would I have liked had I had the opportunity? And I set about writing a kind of reorientation program, which you know consists of all the basics, really, and a lot of common sense. You know, everything from, you know, keep in touch days and get and having a conversation with your manager about what's going to work, agreeing, setting expectations, through to having a buddy or a mentor, someone that's going to, you know, help you get it back up to speed with what's changed and so on. And at the time it wasn't there was nothing structured like that. So I took the initiative to the head of the UK HR, the CHRO for the UK at the time, who thought it was a great initiative, and we rolled it out across the whole of the UK business. And I believe it sort of became the beginning of what Amazing. I see today is our very forward thinking, very supportive policies around return to work, not just for maternity, but for a whole range of extended leave. So, but it started with, you know, what would I have liked had I had the chance, you know? But,
rather than going straight in. Obviously 9 months, I can imagine you probably hadn't even thought about work during that time.
Well, no, there was a lot. I mean, there was a lot going on personally during my maternity leave, not least we relocated back down to the southeast. So, there was a huge amount going on. You don't give much thought to work. I think consulting, for me, consulting I love because of the variety, the clients, the different projects, experiences, different people I was working with. But for me, I have a husband who, with his career, travels an awful lot.
Okay.
We don't have family close by. I couldn't foresee how I was going to be able to travel and achieve the commitments that would be needed as a consultant with clients for my family setup. So again, it was a compromise, but again, I was very fortunate. I had sponsorship, and I had somebody internally who identified an opportunity for me in HR.
Do you think that came from part to do with your onboarding initiative? Do you think they thought Emma's really good at this? How do you bring in?
possibly. It may have been something to do with it.
Maybe. I always like to kind of understand from leaders, particularly because the podcast is to try and help aspiring leaders, but also to help leaders that are in their roles today. But are there any key factors, thinking about what we've just talked about as well, and obviously just looking back on your career so far, are there any key things that stand out to you that you think have helped you to get to this point?
Learn fast. That's something that I think I do in any case naturally, for me perhaps, but I think it's an absolute truism in whatever career choice you make. Learn fast. Resilience and flexibility are two other factors which I believe have worked for me. And then commit yourself to the role and commit to yourself as well. The mantras: do what you say you're going to do, and do as you would be done by.
Yeah,
and they're two that I really hold true. And I think that they, for me, by living those statements, it goes a long way to building trust, authenticity, and. Those are the foundations of a good relationship and good leadership, in fact. So learn fast, resilience, flexibility, and make a commitment to yourself and to the role. If you're going to say you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that last one. It's so true. And I think sometimes people commit without actually then following through, which is a big bugbear for me.
I'm totally with you. Totally with you. I think, you know, it's fine to try something and then to say after a period of time, it doesn't work, whatever, or I don't like it, or I've not enjoyed it. But, you know, if you say you're going to try it and do something, then do it. And look for people who can help you do it. You don't, I think that's the other thing is you're not, we don't have to do these anything by ourselves.
So true.
You know, and if you ask, you invariably will get help. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes as female leaders, we probably do try to take on more out of thinking that we should.
Perhaps, I think sometimes as a leader, you can get yourself into the space where you think, well, I'm here now and I'm here, so I should know it. And because of my role, my seniority, my title, whatever, you know, I'm expected to have the answers, but the world is moving too fast.
Exactly.
That nobody has all the answers, and I mean, you know, there's plenty of well documented research and books that will tell you that good leaders surround themselves with good people. But even as an individual contributor, you don't have to have all the answers. You can still go and ask the questions and find people to learn from.
No, it's so true. And thinking about our future female leaders, and a lot of those are in our audience, what advice or if there are any experiences or insights that you wish you'd have had along the way, would you share for them?
So I think, you know, it's a lot of what I've said, but I think in addition, but believe in yourself and listen to your instincts. They are more often right than wrong. And stay focused and determined on where you want to go. You know, these are the points that when I reflect back on my own career, you know, these are the messages and advice that has been given to me over the years, and I believe it to be true. And grab opportunities that come your way. You know, I wouldn't have missed out on the opportunity of going to Australia for all the world. You know, there were many reasons that I could have put to say no, don't go, but it was a great formational experience in my career. Believe in yourself, listen to your instincts, stay focused and determined on where you want to go, and grab those opportunities that come your way. Just say yes.
Yes. Thank you so much, Emma. Honestly, there's so much advice, and I think lots of people will take some learning, particularly around things like actually trying to take ownership of how they want their career to look like and what actually does work for them. And I think you are a real inspiration in terms of how you've made that work for you since you've had your son and obviously still today. So thank you for sharing. As it's the Tea with CE podcast, we do have one final question, which is, how do you take your tea?
Green and in a large mug, please. Thank you, Terry. It's been a pleasure, and I hope your listeners enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Honestly, really appreciate you sharing your insights, and I'm sure we will catch up soon.
Brilliant. Have a good day.
You too.